Please open your Bibles to Psalm 42. In the very beginning of it, you're going to see these words, "For the choir director, a maskil of the sons of Korah." For the choir director, a maskil of the sons of Korah. Maskil means it is a teaching psalm. It is a teaching psalm. The psalm was written to teach us something very important about God, something we need to know. And it's a maskil of the sons of Korah. That's the author of the psalm, the sons of Korah. The sons of Korah were members of the tribe of Levi. They served in the temple. They were doorkeepers at one point. But probably when this psalm was written, they were singers. They were temple singers. And they write this psalm to teach Israel something very, very important. As you read the psalm, and we're going to read it, the specific situation is obvious. You can tell the historical background of the psalm by simply reading the psalm. It's a terrible time of crisis and despair. The sons of Korah have been taken away from Jerusalem. They've been taken away from the temple. And they've been taken to a foreign land. And I'm not exactly sure when the psalm was written. There's options for us as far as when that is. David was driven away from the temple and from Jerusalem by his son Absalom, and was driven to a foreign land. So perhaps the sons of Korah are with David in that foreign land, and they are longing to go back to the Holy Land to worship our holy God. The psalm could have been written later. As you know, if you studied the Bible, the kingdom of Babylon, Babylonia, came to Israel to fight against them. Did God rescue them? No, God turned them over to the Babylonians because of their sin. They were taken away, and they were placed in a foreign land. And perhaps the sons of Korah are there. They've been forced away, and they long for the day when they can return. This temple singer had a lifetime of service to God in the temple. He led the children of Israel in a parade of praise. But all that was taken from him, and now he finds himself far away from the Jerusalem, far away from the temple. He's being made fun of by his captors. Put yourself in the man's situation. It's a desperate time for him. It's a discouraging time for him. He's going through a terrible crisis. It looks like God has abandoned the children of Israel. And he writes Psalm 42 as a gift to the children of Israel and as a gift to the church to teach us something very important about God. Brothers and sisters of Trinity, Psalm 42 teaches us something we all need to know. Would you stand, please, and let's read it together. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember, and I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with a voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God. For I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. O my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of the Jordan and the peaks of Hermon, from Mount Mizir. Deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have rolled over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and his song will be with me in the night, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As a shattering of my bones, my adversaries revile me while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now that God's Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that wrote this psalm, would speak to your heart and teach you about God? Will you pray for the people in this room? Perhaps the people in front of you or behind you or to your right or to your left, that the same Holy Spirit that wrote this psalm would speak to their hearts and teach them about God. Would you pray for me that the same Holy Spirit that wrote the psalm would help me teach it? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. May I give accurate sermon today. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I hope you like the Psalms as much as I do. They are absolutely fantastic poetry. They are poetic, and they draw pictures for you. They're the best poems ever written. Because if you read them carefully, you can really get in touch with what's happening. We all know what it's like to be thirsty. Maybe you've worked out at the gym, or maybe you've exercised at your home, or maybe you worked very, very hard physically all day long in this heat that we have here in India, and you know what it's like to be truly thirsty. The only thing you want is water. Perhaps you've seen a thirsty animal. On my prayer walks, every once in a while, actually a lot, I come across loose or stray dogs. And I can always tell when I see a dog that has been loose or out into the city for days, the dog's tongue is hanging down like 8 inches. And they got a glazed eyes, and they're just staring forward, and they're just almost blindly going forward seeking water. And this temple singer, a man who has served in the temple, has now been forced away from the temple. And he's absolutely miserable. He's in despair. And he says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And right out of the gate, we learn something awesome. Trinity Baptist Church, your soul is thirsty. Every single person in the world has a thirsty soul. And it can only be quenched by the living water. Jeremiah chapter 2. God, through the prophet Jeremiah, says to Israel, he says, my people have committed 2 sins. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and they've gone after cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water. Trinity Baptist Church, your soul is thirsty. And if you try and quench that thirst with anything or anyone but Jesus, you're going to come up with mud. Look at how sorrowful he is. Verse 3. My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Have you ever been made fun of because you're a Christian? People look at your life or your situation and they say, where is your God? You can't pay your bills. Look at this beautiful house that I have. I don't believe in God. My life is great. Look at you. You're struggling so much with health or finances or family or whatever. Where is your God? The persecuted church hears that all the time. As a brother or sister in Afghanistan or Iran or North Korea is being beaten by someone who doesn't believe in God, and they languish in the cell day after day, and their captors come up to them and say, where is your God? Where is your God? And this temple singer is in a foreign land, perhaps Babylon, perhaps somewhere else. And his captors are saying, where is your God? Look, our armies defeated you. We chased your king out. If the psalm was written during the Babylonian captivity, Babylonians destroyed the city. When they left, the holy city, Jerusalem, was nothing but a smoldering pile of ruin. And the captors looked at the children of Israel and look at this son of Korah and say, where is your God? Where is your God? Look at verse 4. These things, says the temple singer, these things I remember, and I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with a voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Oh man, this guy is thinking back to the good old days. If you read the Torah, Genesis through Deuteronomy, you see it's talked about that the Israel used to celebrate these beautiful feasts. Days and days and days of feasting and celebrating before God. And perhaps this dear temple singer is remembering back to those days. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, Passover, the Feast of First Fruits, and these other ones where throngs of people are go to the temple and there's praises and there's feasting and there's rejoicing and there's trumpets and there's music. And the temple singer, this was the life he loved. And now he's in a foreign land. And he says, this is what my life used to be like. And Trinity Baptist Church, he's in despair. He's in despair. But verse 5, he begins the teaching. Look at it. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. We're going to study the word hope for the month of December. I'm going to take that word and we're going to trace it throughout the scriptures. I trust you can join me. But we need to learn something about hope right now. The Hebrew word is yakal, yakal. It's on the back of your note sheet in your bulletin. The Hebrew word is yakal, and it means to wait, to hope, to expect. To wait, to hope, to expect. So often when you're in the Psalms and it says, my soul waits for God, I wait for God, wait for the Lord. This is the Hebrew word yakal. It means to wait, hope, and expect. And it's such a beautiful word, Trinity Baptist. The word hope in Scripture is such a beautiful word. It is not, as I said when we celebrate communion, it's not a maybe hope. It's not a maybe hope. Every year in September, I get very excited because it's football season. And I hope that my 49ers will win the Super Bowl. And if you're following football, you know that I have no chance at all. Every year I get very excited when baseball season starts in March or April, and I hope that my Anaheim Angels, Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, will win the World Series. If you followed baseball, you know that we finished last. I told my wife the other day, I said, it is the worst day in any sport team's life when Dave Gordon decides to root for you. This is not what the Bible is talking about when it talks about hope. It's a beautiful word. And we will often misuse the word in English, right? I hope this happens. I hope I get the day off today. I hope I get a raise. I hope the price of gas goes down. I hope I can pay my bills. I hope I feel better. Or you might have something more serious. I hope my loved one recovers from this sickness. This is not the Bible word hope. The Bible word hope, and this is in your notes, on the back, I trust, the Bible word hope is the confident expectation of God's provision. It is the confident expectation of God's provision. Would you please keep a bookmark in Psalm 42 and turn with me to Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7. Micah. M-I-C-A-H, Micah chapter 7. Woe is me, verse 1, for I am like the fruit pickers, like the grape gatherers. There's not a cluster of grapes to eat, or a first ripe fig which I crave. The godly person has perished from the land. There is no upright person among them. All of them lie in wait for bloodshed. Each of them hunts the other with a net. Concerning evil, both hands do it well. The prince asks also the judge for a bribe. And a great man speaks the desire of his soul, so they weave it together. The best of them is like a briar, the most upright like a thorn hedge. The day when you post your watchman, your punishment will come. Then their confusion will occur. Do not trust in a neighbor. Do not have confidence in a friend from her who lies in your bosom. Guard your lips, for son treats father contemptuously. Daughter rises up against her mother. Daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own household. But as for me, I watch expectantly for the Lord. That's hope. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Do not rejoice over me, O my enemy. Though I fall, I will rise. Though I dwell in darkness, the Lord is a light for me. Number one in your notes. To hope in God is to wait confidently, trusting in the outcome. To hope in God is to wait confidently, trusting in the outcome. Psalm 71, verse 5, behind me on the screen, says this. Have you got that, brother? Psalm 71:5, "For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my confidence from my youth." The prophet Jeremiah said this to the children of Israel in 29:11. "I know the plans I have for you." Jeremiah 29:11. I can just quote it right here. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity," God says to Israel, "to give you a future and a hope." Look at verse 5, Psalm 42. Always keep a bookmark in Psalm 42. We're never going to leave it. "Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence." Brothers and sisters, number 2 in your notes says this: God's children do not need to despair. God's children do not need to despair. Turn with me to Psalm 62. Psalm 62. "My soul waits in silence for God only. From him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken." Trinity Baptist Church, where is your hope? Where is your hope? Where have you placed your hope? Have you placed your hope in another person? Have you placed your hope in your job? Have you placed your hope in your bank account? Have you placed your hope in yourself? The children of Israel tried that, and everything they hoped in was a leaning wall and a tottering fence. The psalmist says, "My soul waits in silence for God alone." Verse 3, "How long will you assail a man that you may murder him, all of you, like a leaning wall, like a tottering fence? They have counseled only to thrust him down from his high position. They delight in falsehood. They bless with their mouth, but inwardly they curse. My soul, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will not be shaken." Trinity Baptist Church, hope in God alone. He's the only one worthy of your trust. We talked about this earlier. When we hope in Christ for eternal salvation, we're not hoping it comes true. We're waiting expectantly for it to come true. Why is that? Look at Titus 1 behind me on the screen. Titus 1, 1 and 2. "Paul, a bondservant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of those chosen of God and the knowledge of the truth which is according to godliness in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ago." That's our hope, amen? God cannot lie. He cannot. When we hope in Christ for our eternal salvation, we wait expectantly, knowing it will come true. Look at Psalm 42, verse 6. Psalm 42, 6. "Oh my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of the Jordan and the peaks of the Hermon. From Mount Mizir, deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves has rolled over me. our temple singer, again, is thinking back to the beautiful mountains and waterfalls of the Promised Land. He wishes he could be back there. But then he thinks of God. And God is his hope. He says, I remember you. I remember you. Brothers and sisters, is your circumstance difficult for you right now? Are you facing a difficult circumstance? The worries and the cares of this world can overwhelm us, can't they? The worries and cares of this world can overwhelm us. And if you're like me, you've spent many a sleepless night worrying about something. I love verse 6. Oh my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore, I remember you. And Trinity Baptist Church, when your soul is in despair within you, the solution is to remember God. Fix your eyes, mind, and heart on God, not on your circumstances. Pick up your Bible. Read the Psalms. Be reminded of who God is. Our temple singer is in despair. But he says, I remember you. And then in verse 8, he begins to remember the truth about God. Trinity Baptist Church, Satan wants you in despair. Satan wants you in despair. And the solution is to remember God. Satan wants to lie to you, and he wants to tell you things about God that are not true. He wants you to forget the glorious attributes of God. Our temple singer is going to remind us about who God is. Look at verse 8. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and his song will be with me in the night. A prayer to the God of my life. The temple singer says, I know who God is, and I can count on him. As I mentioned earlier, in the days of the prophet Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah prophesied with all his heart, warning the children of Israel of God's coming judgment because of their idolatry. And he prophesied, and he prophesied, and he prophesied, and they would not listen, and his prophecy came true. The king of Babylon came up against Jerusalem, the holy city, and attacked it. What happened? Exactly what Jeremiah said was going to happen. The Babylonians burned down the temple. Imagine that. What if ISIS came through the city of Indio and you watched as they burned this building to the ground? That's one-tenth of what the children of Israel must have been experiencing as they saw their temple burning to the ground. They burned down the king's palace. They burned down all the major buildings. They tore down the wall. And they took the people captive. Jeremiah witnessed all of this. He saw the people taken captive. He was taken captive himself. The children of Israel went off to a foreign land as they looked at their promised land, and it was nothing but a smoldering pile of burned out rubble. And Jeremiah writes the book of Lamentations. Would you turn there with me, please? Lamentations 1:1. How lonely sits the city that was full of people. She has become like a widow who was once great among the nations. She who was a princess among the provinces has become a forced laborer. She weeps bitterly in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. She has none to comfort her among all her lovers. All her friends have dwelt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies. Judah has gone into exile under affliction and under harsh servitude. She dwells among the nations, but she has found no rest. All her pursuers have overtaken her in the midst of distress. The roads of Zion are in mourning because no one comes to the feasts. All her gates are desolate. Her priests are groaning. Her virgins are afflicted. She herself is bitter. Her adversaries have become her masters. Her enemies prosper, for the Lord has caused her grief because of the multitude of her transgressions. Her little ones have gone away as captives before the adversary. And he goes on and on about this horrible disaster that has come upon Israel because of their sin. And he's tempted, and all of Israel is tempted to say, "It's over. God has rejected us. We've lost." But in the midst of these lamentations, turn to chapter 3, verse 19. "Remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and the bitterness. Surely my soul remembered is bound down within me. This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease. For his compassions never fail, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I have hope in him." In the midst of that disaster, Jeremiah lifts his eyes off of the smoldering ruins of Jerusalem, lifts his eyes up to God and says, "I have hope because the Lord's loving kindnesses never, ever fail." And this son of Korah says the same thing in verse 8. He says, "The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and his song will be with me in the night." Psalm 42, brothers and sisters, is a song. It's a song. Number 3 in your notes. No matter what we're going through, the children of God always have a song of praise to sing. No matter what we're going through, the children of God always have a song of praise to sing. Look at verse 9, Psalm 42:9. "I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As a shattering of my bones, my adversaries revile me while they say all day long, where is your God? Where is your God? Where is your God?" One of the most beautiful books in the Bible is the book of Job. This book is so awesome. And you know the story, perhaps. Job lost everything. Satan came to God and said, "Job praises you for nothing. He's the richest man in the world. He's the richest man in the world. Of course he praises you. Take that away and he'll curse you. And God said, okay, let's find out. And God releases Satan and says, go ahead. Go ahead. You can do everything you want to Job, just you can't kill him. And Job loses everything. He loses all of his wealth. He loses his children. He loses his health. He loses everything. He is so greatly suffering that he wishes he had never been born. He begins to write the book and he curses the day of his birth. But in the midst of it, he says something awesome. In the middle of it, before God restores him, in chapter 13, we have this beautiful verse, though God slay me, I will hope in him. I will hope in him. Brothers and sisters of Trinity, no matter how bad it gets, you can hope in God. The children of God do not need to be in despair. Look at verse 11. Verse 11, why are you in despair, O my soul? Why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Brothers and sisters, if you are born again, nothing can separate you from the love of God. No circumstance, no person, no power, no demonic force, no sin in your life. Nothing. Hope in God, for you will praise him again someday, no matter what you're going through. I want to close with a beautiful psalm, another one, Psalm 130. Out of the depths I've cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Psalm 130. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning. Indeed, more than the watchman for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is loving kindness, and with him is abundant redemption. He will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Trinity Baptist Church, your Redeemer lives. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for being the God in whom we hope. And we want you to know as an act of worship that we're going to be here every Sunday until you return and call us home. Our hope is in you. In Jesus' name, amen.